are on Yud Ches Amud Aleph, 18a, and boy, are we going to get confused today. All right, why should they be any different? The beginning part is straightforward, relatively so. It's the middle of this is where it's going to get tricky. But we start out continuing the discussion that we've been having about knives and pagam, flaws in the knife, and checking the knife. Amar Rav Huna, fourth line on Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Rav Huna says, if the tabach, we keep using the word tabach, it doesn't really mean a butcher, even though today that's the way we use it, to mean a butcher or a chef, but it means the person doing the shechita. So if he doesn't check the knife in front of a chacham, misham tinolei, we put him in cherem, Rav Huna says. The Rava amar ma'abrinolei, Rava says, we stop him from shechting, umachrezinan abisrei de trefahi, and we announce that his meat is a trefa, that his meat is not kosher, he says. The Rambam here explains when we say we declare his meat is not kosher, it means meat that he shechted in the past is not kosher. In other words, it's not just don't eat his meat in the future, but if he shechted 2 days ago, we declare that meat to be trefa as well. Now, well, we haven't said anything about the knife yet. All we said is that he didn't have it checked. That's all we know. We didn't say pogum, not pogum. We said he didn't go to the chacham to check it. His avera is not necessarily in shechting with a bad knife. His avera is that he didn't have the knife checked. And the Gemara now explains where you have two different prescriptions here. One prescription is put him in cherem. The other prescription is remove him. Velo pligi, but there's no disagreement. Kan b'shnimte sakino yafa, kan b'shlo nimte sakino yafa. It depends on what happens once we actually do catch him and check his knife. If it turns out that his knife was fine, so we just put him in cherem. But his meat is kosher meat. If, on the other hand, it turns out that not only did he have the hubris to shecht without checking it with a chacham, but he actually got it wrong, then we actually say all his meat is treif. Ravina Omar, Hecha delo nimtze sakino yafa memasmes le beparto. Ravina says we're really going to get him. In the event that they check his knife after all this and they find that it's actually no good, not only are we going to tell people the meat's treif, but we are going to make sure that nobody buys this meat. We are going to rub in perish. Perish is feces, excrement. We're going to rub into the meat, so that no one is going to buy a Jew or non-Jew. He's never going to be able to sell this meat. It's unclear to me whether this is a knas, whether it's a fine. In other words, we're going to make sure nobody does stuff like this in the future, or whether it's because we're worried that he's going to sell it to a non-Jew, and eventually the non-Jew is going to tell somebody, oh, I got this from the Jewish butcher, and therefore the Jew is going to end up eating it. It's unclear to me which is our concern. Nafkamina would be if you had a way to make sure that it won't end up with a Jew, other than this. This is a discussion we have regarding Gidanasha also, regarding you're not supposed to sell meat with the Gidanasha in it to a non-Jew, because he may turn around and give it to a Jew, saying, I got it from the Jewish kosher butcher. So that then could be that that's our concern here. But in any case, we have two separate prescriptions.
With a knife, is it okay, Rashi says?
No, with a knife is not okay.
Yeah, but Rashi says that if this is a Yafa, you say it's a trade, we should knasa.
Right, now that's true, right.
Right.
So that's what we are doing here. But he's bumping it down a step. Right. What Rashi is doing is he's bumping it down a step or up a step, depending on how you look at it. Right. Right. No, but that's true. But Rashi's also pointing something else out. Right. The way we understood it first before we had Ravina was that where the knife is good, we put him in cherem. Where the knife is no good, we declare the meat a trefa. What we now say, what Rashi is saying, is that what Ravina is saying is that where the knife is good, we're still calling the meat a trefa. Where it's no good, we're going to keep him even from selling it to someone who isn't Jewish, right? But it's true that he's interpreting this as a knas. He uses the term good. Okay. The Gemara continues. There was a butcher, a shochet, who did not have his knife checked in front of Rava Bar Chinina. Shamte, put him in cherem. Va'avre, he removed him. Va'achre is abisrei de treifahi, and he declared this meat is treif. Ikla umar zutra v'rab Ashi legabei. So Marzutra and Rav Ashi went to see him. Omar lehu, went to see the butcher. Omar lehu, oh no, I'm sorry, he went to see Rav Rechina. Omar lehu le'ainu rabbanon, it should say, not rabba, bimbil say. And he said to them, Rav Rechina said to them, you know what? Examine his situation. D'talu bei tafli, because there are small children who are dependent upon this man for their survival. In other words, it's not just him that we're dealing with, he has a family. And our gezeira, our knas, is going to harm his family. So maybe you can find a way that we can back down here. But Rav Ashi l'sakine b'nim tzeis yafa. So Rav Ashi checks the man's knife, says the knife turned out to be fine. V'achshere, and on that basis, they said the meat that he had shechted was at least kosher. More than that, Rashi says not just that the meat that he shechted is kosher, but Rashi says that he is of the view that in the event that you find the knife to be fine, we don't even remove him. We let him continue to shecht.
There's a
cherem, but we'll let him continue to shecht. He gets the cherem lifted and he moves on.
He shows us again.
Amar le marzut, well, yes. Amar le marzutra v'lelechash mar l'saba. So marzutra says to Rav Ashi, wow, you have chutzpah. You just declared him kosher. Aren't you worried about the older man, meaning Rav Bar Chinuna? Aren't you worried about Rav Bar Chinuna's position? That he put him in cherem and he said, remove him and all that? Amar le shluchasei kavdina. And he says, don't bother me. He told me to do this. He told me that I should try to find something to do to save this guy. I'm not going to go back to him now. That's what he told me to do, and that's what I did. The Kesef Mishnah and Achosh Chita Perk Aleph Halacha Chavav quotes the tour, who quotes the Rush, being very upset that in his day, the day of the Rush, they appointed special officials who would be the knife checkers, who were not necessarily the Chachamim of the city. They were just people who had developed an expertise in this one area. And the Rush felt this was a very bad idea. Because he said that there's a need for Yishuv Hadas and Yiras Shamayim, and it really should be the Chacham Ha'ir. It's not supposed to be some specialist who's been trained in knife checking. By the way, I didn't mention in the beginning, but we're learning through it's Mordechai ben Zalman Leib.
Okay. How did they take away his Cheskes Kashrus, which we previously said that?
Well, he took away his Cheskes Kashrus.
How can you take it away? If he's got we said originally that he has a chazaka or a robe that most knives are kosher.
Yeah.
So I understand that they're going to check it because it's covered in bonnet, it's covered in chavin.
Right.
Right.
So it's more than just chutzpah. I'll give you a real case. I'll give you a real case, and you'll understand. We had in my previous community, we had a Jewish family that started a small baking business. They sold stuff over the internet, and they came to us and said, "We'd like hashgacha." Fine, we arranged a deal with them, and they were not an observant family, and we were concerned about how closely they would stick to the rules for certain things, and so we required of them that for Pesach, number one, they had to sell it, they had to sell the business to someone who wasn't Jewish who could then run it himself, but they couldn't be on the premises. They could not be in the bakery, even though technically from a halachic standpoint, you'll say, well, why does it make a difference? That's their personal thing. It doesn't matter as long as it's been sold to someone who isn't Jewish. But we felt this was a gather that we needed. Sure enough, before Pesach, we spoke to someone who wasn't Jewish, and we said at some point in the next 8 days, stop in there, please, and just see what's going on. Make sure they're not in there. He went in. He went in twice. He went in once on Yom Tov, once on Chol HaMoed, and both times they were in there working. So we pulled Ashkacha. Not because that made the food non-kosher, but because that shows they're not trustworthy. They're not following the rules that they agreed to. Parenthetically, just last week I heard they got picked up by the OU. But in any case, the idea is you have to follow certain rules. If you're not going to follow the rules, we can't trust you in general for following rules. So you're right. If it turns out the knife was kosher, you'll say, well, you know, he has a chazaka that his knife is good and he knows what he's doing, but we can't trust somebody who simply drops the whole system. That's the concern. You have to be honorable and trustworthy.
But are we going with the opinion that the knife has to be checked before and after with chacham, or is just what is our frequency of checking the knife?
I'm sorry, say that again? We have to.
You said before that when you do the shechita, there was a day that we said, I believe, that you have to check it before and after.
Right, no, the issue of before and after was to avoid a problem in the event that you find a pagam. Yeah, so that's what... So no, we said you didn't have to check every single time by the chacham. That we said you didn't need to do.
I'm asking, what's the frequency?
So I think it was at the start. In other words, the start of the day or something, you're going to go to the chacham. But we said, bein shchita l'shchita, you do not need to. Yeah. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Shane Talusha, this is now a new piece. It's talking about the flaw issue. He says if you have a tooth that is separate from the jaw, okay, it's been pulled out of the jaw, v'tzipora netalusha, or a fingernail that's been pulled out, mutter lishchot ba lechatchila, you can use that to shech lechatchila. So he says, what do you mean? V'anan t'nan, we have a mishnah that says, chutz mimagol katsiv ha-megera v'shinayim v'tziporim n'pnei she'en chonkin. We said, don't use shinayim, don't use teeth, and don't use a fingernail, because it's going to have flaws in it that are going to catch the trachea of the esophagus. To which his answer is, shein ashein lo kasha, he says the two sources regarding teeth are not a problem. One is talking about one tooth, the other is talking about two teeth, which is why it said the word shinayim. Where it's one tooth, then you're fine. The reason that you're fine is because it'll have a smooth surface that you can work with. If you have two teeth, you already have a problem, because there's going to be a space in between them where it's going to dip, and that's where your pagam is. The tziporin and tziporin lokasha, the two sources regarding nails are not a problem either. It depends on whether they're connected to the body or not. If it's connected to someone's finger, then it's no good. If it's not connected to someone's finger, then it is good. That's the idea. One tooth is fine. Rashi notes you're going to have to do a lot of holacha and hava in order for this to work. Tosfos notes that you could have said regarding the teeth, you could have given the answer of connected also, but the word shinayim here lent itself to the answer that this is where there are multiple teeth, because it used the plural. Okay, Mishnah. Let's say you use a sickle. Sickles, remember, have teeth in them, and therefore there is a jaggedness to it. So if you shecht with it, but bederach halichasa, along its grain, so that the way it works is you have these teeth that are all pointed in one direction, and as long as you cut along the way with the slope, the teeth aren't going to catch anything. That's the idea. So if you shecht with this toothed or teeth, I don't know how you would say it, blade, but you do it along the grains, that it's not going to catch anything. Beis Shammai postlin. Beis Shammai says still no good, even though you did it that way. Beis Hillel machshir. Beis Hillel says no, it's fine. And if the teeth are smoothed out, so you get rid of them, you eliminate the teeth, then it's fine. I don't worry that someone's going to say, well, if you shechted with this, you could shecht with some other sickle. That's not a concern of ours. So the Gemara goes back to this debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about cutting along the grain of the teeth. And they pick on the words that were used. We said poslin and machshirin. Here we will find out the word kosher does not always mean kosher. Amar b'chia bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chia bar Abba says, citing Rabbi Yochanan, av kishachshiru beis halal, lo achshiru el latara midei nevela. Abba b'achila asura. Remember that shchita accomplishes two purposes. Number one, it makes the meat kosher for eating. Number two, it makes the meat no longer a nevela, and therefore it's tahor. So he says, when Beis Hillel says the meat here is acceptable, he doesn't mean you could eat it. What he means is it's not an avela, and therefore it's not tamei. But you will not be allowed to eat it. The reason Rashi explains is because we're concerned. You tell me you cut it with the grain, but maybe the shochet will be careless and also go back the other way, and at that point there's a pagam. So that's the statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Beis Hillel's hachshara, Beis Hillel's approval, is only regarding tuma and tahara. Amar Ravashi, Ravashi says, Deganami, I can prove that this is true. Diktani, because we learned, Beis Shammai poslin u Beis Hillel machshirin, velokitani Beis Shammai osrin u Beis Hillel matirin. Kosher and pasul is not the terminology I would have used if you meant kosher to eat. What's the terminology? The terminology would have been osr and mutter. Asr and mutter would have been a more appropriate phrasing to use, because it would have been asr to eat or mutter to eat. That's the idea. Tosfos notes that the word word kosher certainly can mean kosher, the way that we use it. But the point here is that there's a potential to mislead by using these words. You should have said aser and mutter if what you meant was aser to eat or mutter to eat, as opposed to tuma and tahara. To which the Gemara says, "Oh, wait a minute! We didn't use the words tame and tahara either. Vili tameich, according to you, listening be shamay metamen ube selam metarin. That's the terminology you should have used. If it was a debate about tuma and tahara, then use that terminology. Ella poslin umachshirin vaosin umatirin chadam milsehi. I believe that this distinction is incorrect. Beis Hillel really meant kosher to eat. The apostle kosher, aser, mutter are all along the same axis. That's the idea. Okay, that concludes the easy part of today's daf. We now get into the little more complex part, for which I put on your sheets the picture on the back. The picture on the back, as I made sure to write in big capital letters, is of a human neck, not of an animal neck. There are differences. If you have a sefer like Tmunei Chol or Sichas Chulin, you'll see pictures of it there. I couldn't find easily a picture that I could reproduce on a sheet of an animal neck. But the points for us are actually fine. Just remember, first of all, the animal neck is going to be lateral, not going to be up and down. Oh, if you have an art scroll, Yaakov shows me there's actually a picture in there. That was very kind of them. But the point for us is this. If you're looking at the picture on the sheet, the lowermost part shows you rings of cartilage. You see where it says trachea? This is the whole thing is the picture of, well, the bottom part of it is the picture of a trachea, then afterwards it goes up into the neck. But you have cartilage rings there. The cartilage rings, as we're going to mention in the Gemara, do not go all the way around the neck, except for the topmost cartilage ring. The other ones go most of the way around the neck, and then they hit what the Gemara is going to call a ritsuas basar, a strip of flesh that's not cartilage. The uppermost ring goes all the way around. That's the one they call cricoid cartilage. And that's, you can see it. It's called cricoid cartilage on here. It's right below what look like two wings on it. And that's the one, sorry?
No, on just...
Okay. All right. Pardon. That's the one that goes all the way around the thyroid. That's the uppermost one. Then further above, you see what's called thyroid cartilage, and that's what Argama is going to refer to as the kova, the hat. The question is going to be, we're going to be defining hagrama. We need to pick out the spot on the neck where you're supposed to do the cut, and where you're not allowed to veer. And it's going to get somewhat complicated. We're going to have Machlokas Tanakam, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and then a Machlokas Rashi Tosfos trying to explain what exactly this Machlokas was about between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. So I'm hoping that we can do all this. And that Mata will have to go to Minyan before he ends up giving me a hard time. The Mishnah says, you know how much work it took to make sure this will be on a Thursday? Mishnah says, I know, that's why I started quarter to six. Mishnah says, Hashochet mitoch hatabas, v'shir bah melo hachut al pnei kula, shchita sok shera. If you shecht from within the ring, but you leave at least a hair's breadth of the ring intact above, where you did the shchita, shchita sok shera. That language sounds like it's bidiyevet, but it's not. It's lechatchila. And what he's telling you is, this is the way you do the shchita. You make sure that you have some of the cartilage ring above the spot where you did the shchita. Now, what does that mean? Well, according to Rashi, it means the uppermost ring. He says, some people think we mean any ring of the cartilage, but that's wrong, he says. We're talking specifically about the tabas hasmucha l'rosh, the tabas, the ring of cartilage that's closest to the head, by which he means the cricoid cartilage. So you have to make sure that the uppermost ring has at least a thin line of cartilage above the part that you cut with the knife. You follow what we're saying? If this is the neck, and this is the uppermost ring, and then here's the head, you have to make sure that when you cut here, you leave some thickness of that last cartilage ring above the knife cut.
So you have to cut within the cartilage.
Right.
You can't cut above the cartilage.
Correct.
Is to cut lower down
on the neck, correct. Lower down on the neck than that ring.
Don't cut it at the top because it's too thick there.
Because it's not called shchita. That's all I would say, is it's not called Shechita. However, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Molo Chut al Pnei Ruba. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says, all you have to do is cut the majority below that spot. If you cut the majority below that ring, and then you end up slicing beyond it, closer to the head, you're fine. As long as the majority of the cut was below the end of the crinkling cartilage.
The angle cut, most of it
yes.
through the cartilage.
And then you veered.
Tom, you went into the meat.
Right. See, I keep motioning down, but you're right. It's really motioning up.
Below the top of the crinkling cartilage.
Correct. The upper end. Using top and bottom confuses me. I like upper end and lower end, or really the best thing to say would be towards the neck or towards the head or towards the body. Caudally and all those other terms that we use.
Proximal, caudal.
Right.
Towards the tail, towards the
belly. Right.
Cephalic.
Right.
Pardon me. Right.
Okay. So that's the easy part of this discussion. Now we get into the machlokas about it, trying to understand Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabu Shmuel, the Gemara says, Rabu Shmuel da Amri Travayu Alacha Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabu Shmuel say, we follow Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Va'af Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda lo Amar. Ela betabas hagedola. Holu makefes es kol hakone. Avo b'shar tabos lo. And they say, the law follows Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, that as long as you do the majority within that space, you're fine, even if you veer out for part. That's number one. But number two, only regarding the large uppermost ring, or the one that's cephalic, the one that's closest to the head, the cricoid cartilage one, because that's the one, Ha'olu Makafa says, Kolakana, that's the one that goes around the entire trachea. Aval Bishar Tabos, low, but not the other rings, which don't go all the way around the trachea. Rashi understands. I'm not even going to go into Tosfos now. If we have time at the end, I'll go back into Tosfos' version of it, but I'd like to get one consistent view. Rashi says what that means is this. According to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, I must shecht between cartilage rings. And if I'm going between cartilage rings, I have to shecht between one ring and another ring consistently around. Not majority of, but entirely between rings. If, however, the ring that is above me, so to speak, is the uppermost ring, then it's sufficient for me to have the majority of that ring above where I'm cutting. It doesn't have to be entirely above where I'm cutting. So in other words, if this, again, I'm getting a lot of use out of this paper, thank you. If this is the neck of the creature, and it has cartilage, and then the cricoid cartilage here, if I'm cutting between the lower rings, it has to be entirely between one ring and another. If, however, I'm cutting right below, and I'm going to use below now also, if I'm cutting right below the cricoid cartilage, then it's sufficient for the majority of my cut to be below it, and then I can veer up. I don't have to be entirely below it. That's the way Rashi explains the way this works.
Sorry, can I ask? Veering up means crossing?
Crossing the ring.
Into the cricoid cartilage or crossing
and
the
ring? No, above it even. Cutting through it.
More into the trachea.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing is that you're cutting the trachea one way or another, but toward the animal's head, correct. Correct. That's the idea. Yeah, that's the way Rashi understands this. Don't worry, Tosfos has an entirely different view, but yes. So the Gemara challenges this and asks the Ubishar Tabos low on the bottom line on Yechasim et Aleph. This isn't true. This requirement of majority, but not the entire thing. This requirement that you have to cut the whole way. You can't simply do the majority. Ubishar Tabos low. That doesn't apply by the other rings. Vatanya, I have a price. So Rabbi Yosi of Yuda Omer Hashochet Bishar Tabos Ava Pi Shein Makifos Es Kol Hakol. I have a brisa in which he says that if you shecht in the other rings, even though those don't go all the way around the trachea, since they do go around the majority of it, the shechita is kosher. And then there's one more line within this that isn't germane for us, but we're going to come back to it. Umugremes, if it's mugremes, if you actually did it with hagrama, you veered out psula, it's no good. And hey, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos, amugremes shikshe. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos said no, mugremes is actually kosher. And what he means by that is, you can cut, following Rashi, you can cut even entirely above the rings. The only restriction is, according to Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos, that you shouldn't be above what I called the kova before, the thyroid cartilage, which is that really thick layer. Okay, on the picture that I gave you, or you can see it in your pictures in the art scroll. The thyroid cartilage is the maximum. That's really your limit. And Rashi says that's the halacha. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos is the halacha. We'll see why he says that a little bit later on. But the point for us is that you told me, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says that I have to cut the I have to cut the entire thing. Has to be the entire ring has to be above me if I'm using one of the lower rings. Right? I have to be entirely between the rings if it's a lower ring. And it's only the upper one that's different. But here in this brisa, he says it's not true. So Amar Rabbi Yossi.
Are those rings closed?
No, they're open. The only one that's closed is the cricoid one.
Top?
Yeah, the dorsal side.
How would you be able to do it, all of it, if it's open?
Because it's where the ring would be if the ring were complete. Yeah. So
why is it open? How would the animal breathe if it's open?
What do you mean?
No, it's not.
It's a strip of flesh. It's not open.
Yeah.
It's just that it's flesh there instead of cartilage. That's flexibility. Amar Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef says, Rabbi Yosef bar Yehuda tarti ka'omar. He says, Rabbi Yosef bar Yehuda, Barabbi Yehuda, said two things. The Rav Shmuel Savri Kavase Bechada, Upligyale Bechada. And Rav and Shmuel accepted one thing, but disagreed with another thing. In other words, Rav and Shmuel were the ones who cited Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda in the first place, and they said the law follows Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, but they weren't quoting him entirely. They accepted Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda regarding the top ring, saying that regarding the top ring, you don't have to be entirely below it. You can veer into it. Rabbi Yosi Yehuda said the same thing regarding the lower rings. It's just that Rav and Shmuel disagreed with that point. That's the idea. To which the Gemara says, "V'hallo Amar Ka'amri." What do you mean? Rav and Shmuel said, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda only said this. Lo Amar Ella b'Tabas Hagadola. He only said it regarding the uppermost ring. Not he said it regarding everything, and we just disagreed with him on the other rings. Halacha Ka'amri. No, this is the way to read it. Halacha Kemoso b'Tabas Hagadola ve'ena Halacha Kemoso b'Shar Tabos. What they meant to say was that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda rules that you can veer on any ring. We agree with Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, you can veer on the uppermost ring. On the lower rings, the halacha doesn't follow him. That's the idea. That was the complicated part of the of today's daf. If you got through that, good. If you didn't, I apologize. Working on it here.
That part of the trachea is almost like a vacuum cleaning hose.
In what sense?
If you think about a central vac hose, it's like rings, and there's like grooves in between each one. Like
yeah.
Each one sort of like.
Think of it instead of a complete O, think of it as a nearly complete O, almost like a C.
Right.
It holds it open, except for the top one, which is an O.
Right. I mean, one thing that I found interesting, and I'm not sure if it's because of my sight or because of the way the neck was positioned, but in some of the pictures I saw of the animal's neck, the cartilage rings actually are flush with each other.
They're touching each other?
They're touching each other, practically. Not practically, they seem to be touching each other.
It's like the hose that's like, squeezed tighter.
Yeah.
Pulled.
Right. On the other hand, the pictures of the human neck that I've seen, they're not. I thought that was interesting, and it may shed some light on how exactly you're doing this.
Is the principle that if you go through a piece of a ring, that it hurts the blade and that invalidates? That's why it's supposed to be flesh only.
I don't think so. I think we're actually defining the kashrus of an act of shechita.
Then, how would you apply that to the cricoid?
Well, that's
cricoid. You want two parts? That wouldn't make sense.
That's right. So that's what I'm trying to understand. What's the difference if you go through an incomplete C ring or go through the heavier, complete cricoid ring.
Right.
That's what I don't
Right. And my assumption had been this was about defining the act of shechita. It wasn't about, you know, an additional consideration like the status of the knife. Yeah. No, this is the makom shechita. We need to get through the daf itself. Then we can go back and we can see Tosfos, because he has a whole other view about this. So Kisalik Rabbi Zera went to Eretz Yisrael, Meir. This is, if you remember, the end of Ksuvos, the whole discussion. Rabbi Zera wants to make Aliyah, but Rabbi Yehuda won't let him, and so he stops going to Shir. That's what people do when the rabbi tells them not to do something, so they stop going to Shir. It's not that they listen. So Kisalik Rabbi Zera went to Eretz Yisrael. Ocha Mugremes de Rav Shmuel. And he ate Mugremes, which Rav and Shmuel said you're not allowed to do. He ate where it had been above the cricoid cartilage, but below the thyroid one. So Amri Leh, people said to him, "What are you doing? Lav me asrei d'Rav Shmuel at? Aren't you from the land of Rav and Shmuel, right in Bavel, right? Sura Ner Da, the yeshivos of Rav and Shmuel, they don't eat this. How could you eat it?" Omar Lahu Man Amra, to which he replied, "No, that whole tradition is wrong. Who is the one who says that Rav and Shmuel prohibit this? Yosef Bar Chiya, also known as Rabbi Yosef. He's the one who says that. Yosef Bar Chiya Mikulei Alma Gomir. His problem, Rabbi Yosef's problem, was he learned from too many different people. And the result is that he wasn't necessarily correct when he said that Rav and Shmuel say this. Shama Rav Yosef, well, Rav Yosef heard that, ikbid, and he got angry. Amar anami kule alma gamirna. He said, "You tell me I learned from anybody? I don't verify my sources. Anama Rav Yehuda gamirna, pal. I learned from Rav Yehuda. Dafilu speke de gavri garis." Rav Yehuda was so careful that when he quoted something, and there was some doubt as to who the author, the original author was, he would mention both possibilities. Dam Rav Yehuda, Am Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba, here's an example. Rabbi Yehuda said, citing Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba, "Safek Mishmei Derab, Safek Mishmei Deshmuel." And he said, Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba said this, but he might have gotten it from Rab, he might have gotten it from Shmuel. Shloshim Hatiras HaBachor B'makam Shein Mumcha, that where there's no expert around to see a mum. In a Bachor, you could use three Hedyotos. You don't need to have an expert to do it. The point is not the Bachor discussion. The point is that here he's quoting Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba and saying, and Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba may have gotten it from Rav, may have gotten it from Shmuel. So we see that Rabbi Yosef was very careful about attributions. So don't tell me that maybe it wasn't really Rav and Shmuel who said it. But the point is that Rabbi Zera eats the mugremes, saying, you know what? Yeah, it's true. The people where I come from don't eat mugremes. But they don't eat it because they think Rav and Shmuel said it, and Rav and Shmuel never said it. To which the Gemara says, who cares whether Rav and Shmuel said it or not? That's the minhag. No one eats it. They consider it non-kosher. You remember the fourth parak of Psachim, right? Davar she'atzibur nagu bo iser iata rasha lahatir bifneim. If there's something that people don't eat, if there's something that people consider aser, you're not allowed to flout their practice publicly and go around eating it. So you should have observed that where you were, and therefore you should continue to observe it where you are now. Rabbi Zera lesley knows in Allah chumre amakam she'yatzim isham v'chumre amakam she'alach. Doesn't Rabbi Zera know the principle that you follow the chumros of both locations, the place of origin and the place where you're going? The Amar Abaye. So Abaye gives us the first answer. Hani mili mi bavel le bavel u me eretz yisrael le eretz yisrael. That's when you're traveling within Bavel, place to place within Bavel, or place to place within Eretz Yisrael. Inami me Eretz Yisrael le Bavel, or you leave Israel to go to Bavel. Avol mi Bavel Eretz Yisrael, but going from Bavel to Israel. Kevan da nan kefina lehu avdinan kavasayu. Since we are beholden to them, we are subservient to them, therefore we do what they do. You make aliyah, you follow Israeli minhagim. Rashi and Tosfos discuss what this subservience is. According to Rashi, it's for Kiddush HaChodesh, Ibur HaShana, as well as Dine Knossos, adjudicating laws of fines, because true smicha was in Eretz Yisrael, therefore you needed to be in Israel for it. Tosfos says it's not so clear cut at all, because there are areas of halacha where Bavel was actually dominant. Like for example, Hafkas Mamon, he says the exilarch had authority to take property away from one person and give it to another. And Tosfos has a discussion where he says it really depends on the topic that you're dealing with, but there certainly were areas in which Eretz Yisrael was dominant, and in particular. Particular iser v'heter, issues of what's kosher, what's not kosher. Israel was dominant, so therefore somebody going to Israel would follow Israeli practice. Rabashi Omar. Rabashi gives me a second answer. That was Abaye's answer. So therefore, Rabbi Zeira said, well, I'm going to a place where they eat Mugremes. I can eat Mugremes too. Rabashi Omar, Afilu Tema Mibabal Eretz Yisrael. Rabashi says, no. The truth is, you keep the chumros of both locations, even if you're going from Babel to Israel. However, Hani Mili Hecha de Daito Lachzor. That assumes you're planning on returning home. Rabbi Zeira in Daito Lachzor Hava. Rabbi Zeira had no plan of leaving Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, he only follows the practices of the place at which he arrived. Amarle Abaye le Rabbi Yosef. Abaye says to Rabbi Yosef, Vahara banan da asumi mechosa, Amri, they take out Amar Rabbi Zeira, the Bach takes it out, Amri mishmeid Rav Nachman mugremes kshera. Abaye said to Rabbi Yosef, the sages who came from mechosa, mechosa, remember, was Rava's city. It was known as the city. They cited Rav Nachman as saying that Mugremes is kosher. Amale Nara Nara Upashte, which literally means the river flows and spreads out. The water goes to wherever, you know, that's the path of least resistance. But the idea is that each place, right, each place follows its minhag. So some places in Babel said it's usher, some places in Babel said it's mutter. What do you want from me? That's his statement. So. That's the discussion about Rabbi Zeira's decision to practice that way. The Gemara now continues on this Mugremes issue and cutting, you know, where is the highest point of which you can do the Shechita. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Achshar Bechuda Dekova. Reish Lakish said, it's Kasher Teshecht Bechuda Dekova, in the edge of the thyroid cartilage. He's okay cutting in the upper thyroid cartilage there. Kari alei Rabbi Yochanan gisa gisa. Rabbi Yochanan said about this gisa gisa, which is a joke, right? What's a geese? A brother-in-law. Who's Rabbi Yochanan's brother-in-law? Rish Lakish. Right? You can read this and never get the joke. But that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says, gisa gisa is hagas hagas. You're being too coarse. You're permitting too much. But I think it has to be a play on brother-in-law. Otherwise, yeah. He said, I think that you're permitting too much. Yeah. Okay. That's the thing. He's upset about him allowing it to cut so high. This, by the way, is why the classic idea about the giraffe is not true. Right, when people say you can't cut they can't shecht the giraffe because you don't know where on the neck to cut, you can't possibly miss it. Your target is 6 feet long. You know, that's not the problem with a giraffe. There are other issues involved in shechting giraffe, but this isn't one of them. Okay. Amar Rav Papi Mishmei the Rava. So now we have a new issue, which is Chiti. Chiti are usually rendered, the Meiri disagrees, but they're usually rendered as the vocal cords. And the issue with the vocal cords here is that they are the barometer of have you gone too far up the neck. So Amar Rav Papi Mishmei the Rava Paga Bechiti Trefa. Rav Papi says in the name of Rava, if you encounter the vocal cords, then it's going to be trefa. It's going to be non-kosher. The vocal cords are up by this high point on the neck. I couldn't find a picture that would actually identify it that I could reproduce for you. Yeah, and it's the bottom of the thyroid cartilage.
The two bones back from how much the chiti and which the vocal cords attach.
Okay.
The vocal cords attach towards the front of the neck, the bottom of the neck.
Right.
Where the neck would first go in.
Right. Don't show that on your own neck, please. Thanks. I'll pass you the pencil if you want.
Towards the front of the thyroid cartilage, and the vocal cords stretch backwards onto these two little bones, one on the right, one on the left, up towards the back of the animal's neck.
Excellent. Thank you. Everyone heard that? Okay. So if you hit, see what I used to have when I did it in Allentown, we had a radiologist who was very good at outlining all of these different things and teaching the technical terms. So I need to make sure someone at the Shear is up on these things.
The picture who left is a radiologist.
Ah, well, he left. No.
But you can't quite see him right now.
Got it. So Rav Papi says that if you encounter the chiti, it's no good. When we say trefa here is used colloquially. It means non-kosher. It doesn't mean you render the animal a trefa. It means that the shechita is no good. So the Gemara asks, Paga v'naga bahen d'chsiv v'yivga bo v'yamos? Odoma paga v'lo naga ke d'chsiv v'yivga uva o malachei Elokim? When you say if he encounters it, it's no good, does that mean, like Benayahu executing Adoniyahu, that it means that you actually physically hit it and damaged it? Or does it mean you came close to them, to the vocal cords, like Vayivgu Vo Malachei Elokim? It doesn't mean you touched the Malachim. Even coming close. Rashi and Tosfos disagree about what coming close means. Rashi says you cut below it. Tosfos says you actually cut further up, above it, towards the head. So, Itmar. Amar Rav Papa Mishmei de Rava Shir Bechiti Kshera. Rav Papa says, in the name of Rava, if you leave some of them intact, it's still kosher. So according to Rashi, this is a new comment. This is not resolving the previous question about what it means when you say paga. It's a new statement. Tosfo says that what he's trying to tell you is that cutting above it is invalid. And he's actually answering the previous question. But I'm going to go with Rashi here. And what he's saying is that that as long as something remains of the chiti, you haven't gone too far up. Amar Rav Amemar Bar Maryanuka. Rav Amemar, the son of Maryanuka, who you'll recall as the son of Rechista, right? He has the two kids, Maryanuka and Markshisha. Hava Keimna Kamed Rav Chia Braid Rav Avia. He says, I was in front of Rav Chia Braid Rav Avia. Va'amali, and he taught me, Shir Bechiti Ksheira, you leave some of it, it's fine. Amali Ravina La Rav Ashi. Ravina says to Rav Ashi, Amali Rav Shimon Misovra. Ikwa Marzutra La Hasrein. Rav Shimon of Sovra said that Marzutra came to our land, Vidarash, and he taught, Shir Bechiti Ksheira, as long as you leave some of it, it's kosher. Marbaravashi Amar Paga Bechiti Ksheira, Shir Bechiti Trefa. Marbaravashi says no. If you come close to it, you're fine. If you cut some of it and leave some of it, it's Trefa. The Hilchasa, and the law is, Mishipwe Kova Ulamata Ksheira, Vainu Deshir Bechiti. That as long as it's from the slope of the Kova and below, that Kova being the thyroid cartilage and below, it's fine. As long as you leave some of the vocal cords intact, that shows that you didn't go up too far. And this is like Rashi says, this is like Rabbi Ben Antignos earlier in the discussion on the Mugremes. Rav Nachman Achshir Mishipwe Kova Ulamata. Rav Nachman approved of it from the Shipwe and below. Amar le Rav Chanan bar Rav Ketina le Rav Nachman Kiman. Rav Chanan bar Rav Ketina said to him, who are you following in the Mishnah from Yurches? Lok Rabbanan v'lok Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. You're not following the Rabbanan and you're not following Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Because it's not the majority within the Tabas. It's not, what are you doing? So Amar le, analo chilek yadana v'lok bilek yadana. He says, I don't know from this one, I don't know from that one. I'm following the second version in Rashi. Ana shmeisa yadana. All I know is the lesson that I learned. This is what I heard. And Amar Mechia Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Vamila, Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Vamila, Amar Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, Amar Rabbi Shua Ben Levi. Somebody said, Mishibwe Kova Olamata, Kshera. From the Shibwe and on down, it is kosher. That's the idea. We're going to continue with that, God willing, tomorrow.